Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good morning to 91.1 Hinesville, Glasgow, 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky, and 91.5 Litchfield, Hardinsburg. Good morning to our app listeners as well as our internet listeners. We love you. We bless you. We are so excited you have joined us this beautiful morning, and the Lord is going to do amazing things in your life, in our life, and we are prayerful for this broadcast this morning. Well, we're going to start around the table. Miss Karen, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. I am very glad to be back here, and everything's well.
Amen. It's good to have you, Miss Karen.
I'm glad to be back.
I've missed you.
I've missed you, too.
I was missing you. Miss Hannah, how are you?
I'm good. I'm also glad Miss Karen's back.
Miss Hannah's all beautified in here this
morning.
Did she
though?
Look at you. All dressed up. Look pretty.
Nobody can see me, so they don't know if you're
all dressed up,
kidding
go,
or not.
So is that grateful thing still going on?
Yes, yes. Got gratitude in my attitude.
It's about time. All right, Miss Crystal.
Blessed and highly favored. I'm just grateful to be here this morning. And thank God that we're all alive and well and healthy.
Uh-huh.
And moving right along.
One older guy in a church I used to pastor always say, I'd be like, how you doing? He'd go, well, I'm vertical, son.
I have felt that way.
I'm vertical.
Sometimes I've felt like I wish I weren't vertical right now. Like, take me a nap.
Yeah, it was bed was feeling this. This yeah. is when the broadcast gets a little tough, when the weather gets a little cooler and it's dark and you wake up and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
That bed was pretty warm and toasty this morning. Like, I may stay there.
It's Monday, so.
All right. Well, it is a good day to be with you guys. It's always an honor, and it's always a privilege to have your ear for a couple hours from 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time here on the Box 2 Radio Network. Had a lot of great conversation yesterday. Got some good Bible questions in there and got to discuss some things to that regard of just and we finished Ruth already.
Wow.
We're going to be talking a little bit about Kinsman Redeemer just for a minute, but we have finished Ruth. So that means tomorrow we will start the book of Jude. And then we're going to go back to Hosea, and then we'll go to the book of Acts. And so good little tracking there coming up here. Don't forget on Wednesday nights, we got several great teachings coming up on Wednesday nights. We're going to be doing the Spirit of Perversion tomorrow night. And then we'll be taking the next week off for a hayride bonfire. Everybody's invited to if anybody wants to come out to that. And then the following week, Joe Taylor will be teaching on the lying spirit, and then the 12th, Miss Crystal will actually be teaching on the jealousy, the spirit of jealousy and the wrath and the anger and what that does in our own hearts, and when that spirit gets on us and in us. And as you know, Corinthians, they really talk about to an extent the partying spirit, like they don't really call it that. And when we say these spirits, you know, there probably is not like a demon that wears a t-shirt that says, hi, my name is Party. What it does is it gets on us and we become one with partying type spirit. Like that's what Corinthians was about. They were about lasciviousness. They were about sexual morality. They were about partying. They were about all these kind of things. And that's just who they became as a person. And Paul's like, you gotta get at that off of you. You can't live like that. And that's the same thing with jealousy, anger, wrath, perversion, lying, all these things. They get in our hearts, and there's a root, and there's a cause, and there's a reason. And part of binding that strong man is finding that reason out, seeing where it come from, closing the door, renouncing, getting that stuff off of you, repenting, closing it off, saying, I don't want anything to do with it no more. I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be hurt anymore. I don't be gossiping no more. I don't be lying anymore. Like for people, and Joe's probably going to get into a lot more of this, but like, you know, we hear like a habitual liar, like somebody, they just can't even help it. They just lie. But even we had a, when we did the Red River Youth Ranch, for a while, we had one kid like that. We had a kid that was a habitual liar. I don't even think he realized he was lying.
He believed his own lie.
I don't even think he conceived he was lying. Mm-hmm. He was just a liar. Mm-hmm. Like it's what he did. And I'm not trying to, like, curse him. Like, that's – I think there was that spirit on him. Like, right. he had so given himself to that, that his own spirit has become like this lying type spirit, that he's just lying and he don't even realize it. And we try to help him, but he just couldn't see it. Like, no. And I don't know which one of y'all said, but like, he was believing it. Like, he really believed this stuff happened to him, mm-hmm. and it never did. Mm-hmm. And so there's just so much spiritual things that take place and root in that kind of things. And so finding that strong man and being able to bind him and understand and expose his lies of expose the lies of the enemy. Amen. All right, October 25th, that is this Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This Saturday night's the night. We're gearing up full effect. I've been I worked on some things yesterday, trying to get some more organization and trying to get things planned. And I have a lot of personal meetings today and trying to get all the final details. And so we're getting there, and we're excited for it. We're going to I don't know how it's going to look, because somehow I'm decorating. I've never decorated an event before.
But you have a wife.
I do have a wife, and she is going to be used greatly in this affair. Because I have no, I really don't know how I ended up decorating. I don't think anybody else was just like stepping up, so I'll do it. All right, I'll take it.
I don't
it.
Know how I ended up with games either, but yeah. I've got Miss Joanne Lyons, and she's already.
You want trade?
No. I'll take games.
You sure, Miss Crystal?
Yeah.
So you might end up being really good at it.
Probably not, Miss Karen.
Miss Joanne came to me yesterday, and she said, because she's helping me, and she's like, I've got so many ideas. And I'm like, I'm so glad you do, because I have nothing. But I knew that Pastor Aaron has some things that they did before, so I wasn't greatly concerned yet until I see.
Honestly, games are probably the easiest part, because you could put a 2-liter with a ring around it and say, throw it on there. Yeah. And these little kids go, yeah!
As long as you got a little 10-cent prize, they're happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Put the sock on your hand and see if you can clap the wall 3 times. Okay!
I did it!
Hit the circle! Yes! Like, it's so easy for games. I'm not an interior decorator. I don't know what colors. I know fall colors, and that's about it. So, yeah.
An interior decorator.
I'm not an event planner. I can help organize and make sure everything gets done.
Yeah.
But usually I've relied on Heather and Sarah for decorating. And, they're about to be employed. That's all I can say.
I was going to say, well, where are they?
They're about to be employed.
Maybe they just mean fine people. You're the
Hey, they say the quality of a great leader is you know how to delegate. So there you go. You just delegate and say,
I'm about to employ.
Yeah,
they,
you look like a great
leader.
They
may be looking at you as the one they say to move it a little to the left. No, move it back to the
look,
right.
Look, I am perfectly fine with that. I'll be the mover. I will be the roller outer for the tablecloths. I will even build something. Now, I have vision in other parts, but when I look at an event and go, oh, I've got a vision. This over here.
A flower needs to be there. Yeah,
I got a vision.
I missed that gene, too.
That looks empty, though.
Well, that looks fine to me. I'm like this. It doesn't matter what it is. I am a plain guy. Now, when I watch my video, my movies, my Christmas movie, I love all that. Like, I'm loving that. But I look at my living room, I'm going, I don't know where'd that go? Like, I don't understand how they get that garland to do so perfectly. And their yard is just so balanced, and they just got the light here and the light here. When I see it, I just go, that's a lot of work. Let's just put an inflatable up and pin 3 things in the ground. That sounds good.
But I learned this year, because I am not a decorator. And back home, my sister-in-law was always the decorator at church. I mean, she did all these things. And I would tell her, she knew not to put me in charge, but I was the great workhorse. Let me, tell me where to put it, tell me what to do, and I got it. So this year I decided I'm going to decorate my house for fall, because people were coming over. And it wasn't, I mean, what I did is I got mums and pumpkins, mm-hmm. and I already had ivies, and mm-hmm. it was like, that's all I needed. Mm, and it looked good. I mean, it wasn't great. I mean, somebody like Hannah would probably go and go, oh my God, you need to do this. But, no, you know.
I was like, her porch is so cute.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And it
sometimes
just,
less is more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I learned through that you don't have to have
a whole bunch,
you know, but especially with fall, because a mum and a pumpkin does wonders.
Yes, it does, because of the color.
Yeah, that's my decorating tips for the day.
When I decorate, I only decorate for Christmas. Yeah. The rest of the time, I'll put a wreath on the door, but that's it. But Christmas, I'm out. I'm all out.
Yeah.
had five Christmas trees.
Oh, my gosh.
It'd take me 3 days to decorate my big one. Wow. I don't do it anymore, but yeah. I mean, it would. It'd literally take me 3 days to decorate the one tree.
I have one, and that's it.
Now, when it comes to decorating, if there needs to be something, like they say, all right, this is what we want, and this is our vision, then I'm okay with, like, bringing that to life. Like, we had a tree house that they were going to do last year at the, well, this summer at the VBS, and I was like, I can see the vision, but I think we can go bigger. Like, and so we went from this little painted tree house that they got from somebody to literally building a tree house. And cutting limbs and making it a full-pledged tree house. Cool. I can do that part. I just don't ever have the vision. Like, right. You know, I'm like, just a, this is what we need the stage to look like. I'm like, no.
Hey, if you guys are willing to build stuff, then they'd probably really put you to work.
Yeah, that's good.
You give me and Jeremiah something to do, we'll build it.
Yeah,
that's great. We're going to need an obstacle course. I mean, like, no, I'm just kidding.
Like, how big? Like, we could do this.
No. Like Ninja Warrior?
Okay. Yeah, there you go. All right.
Ethan would sign up for that.
Exactly.
Sounds good to me. All right, November 14th also is our Bethel Ladies Meeting featuring Renee Alderburn. She's going to be speaking. And remember, this Saturday night, chili cook-off. Everything starts at 4 o'clock. If you're going to have your chili in the contest, have it around there four. Have it there before. And then you don't have to stay. You can just drop it off. We got crock pot plug-ins and all that kind of stuff. So be there by 4.
But be back for the auction.
But be back for the auction at 5. I mean, we'll eat at 5. Yeah. Doors open at 4. And the auction starts at 6 o'clock. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. We got a couple of good questions this morning, and we got Miss Crystal's going to bring something, right? You got it. You got it this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. just make it. She looked at me like, "Uh-oh." Maybe Miss Karen's got.
I
it
was
this
looking
morning.
At her like, "What you do? Don't you?"
Miss Karen's like, "You right? You do right?"
I've been out of town.
Todd said that we need to decorate with desserts.
Oh, I love Todd that said. Idea. I love that idea.
Yeah.
I think I've got the vision for the entrance piece. I think I know what I'm going to do that. Now it's just a matter of I'm going today. I'm going to try. I'm going to give this my best attempt here. All right. I'm of course going to be employing Heather and Sarah pretty soon, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try to get the vision first. I'm going to go over my measurements today and I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. The table toppers are what's throwing me for a loop.
I love it.
I don't know what to do for the table
toppers. Put a pumpkin in a mum, I'm telling you. Just kidding.
A mini mum.
I feel the fall movies coming out in me. All of them. I've watched all the Christmas movies, all these things. I'm weeding through all the decorations I've ever seen in a fall fest. It's coming alive.
See, it didn't take long, did it?
Yeah, it's coming alive. Now what I'll have to do is get my vision and then I will submit it to Heather and Sarah, and they'll be like, it's not going to work. And I'm like, well, fine, then you just do it. All right. all right, well, it is.
Moving on to another vision.
Yeah.
Maybe Ruth or Boaz's vision. Yeah.
We do have a Proverbs of the Day here. We've changed the verse of the day to Proverbs of the Day for right now. Proverbs 1, chapter 1, verse 7. It's one of my favorite verses. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Basically, the Word of God is saying this, that honor, fear, reverence, revere for the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. It's the beginning of all knowledge. It directs us and it guides us in walking in the ways of the Lord. We will pray, we will seek, we will study to find God's wisdom and God's will in all things because of the reverence and the honor. The fear is not, there is a terrifying part of God, like there is a severity of him. But as believers, when we walk in his way, the fear is not so much a terrifying, it's an honor, it's a revering, it's a adoring. And so here in this Proverbs, just the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Basically, the author of Proverbs is saying you are a fool if you despise wisdom and instruction.
You know, I mean, I think that's one of the great things about the Lord. You know, you're sitting there talking about having a fear for the Lord, but what an assurance. It holds such assurance for me to sit in that kind of place that I fear him. But there's such an assurance that comes to me from that and a blessing but just, you know, it just settles something inside of me mm-hmm. because of it. And he's the only one that can, you can have that, hold that position and have all of that right. come into play. Mm-hmm. It's just an incredible thing with him.
It is.
Amen. let me find my quote here. I've lost it. Oswald Chambers says, "The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else.
Mm.
Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything."
Everything.
Else.
Mm-hmm.
Love that from Oswald Chamber.
That is very good.
All righty. Well, we finished Ruth. Hannah, did you glean anything from Ruth this time through? Anything stuck with you?
Did I glean anything?
Yep. Glean.
How was that? Was that good? You know, because she went gleaning the whole time.
That,
so
that was pretty good. It was good. I mean, I think really the part about Naomi, because I always focused on Ruth reading it before. And, I mean, I'm still, you know, I think it's amazing that she overcame, you know, what people would have thought about her and just clung to Naomi. But I guess the revelation that it wasn't just about Naomi, like Ruth was seeing, she had a revelation of God and she was clinging to the Lord. She knew that the Lord was attached to Naomi. Mm-hmm. So I guess just that deeper revelation, because before, you know, I saw it as more like, on the natural level of, you know, she just loved Naomi so much and had such compassion for her, which is true. But I think I saw the deeper revelation that she had there, which would have been really hard and not likely with her being, you know, a Moabite.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what I find. But really the part about Naomi, just seeing how, you know, she was going through a lot. Like I guess I always thought about her as just, you know, so mature and didn't, I just feel like being able to look at what she was really going through helped me to be able to really see the greatness of the story. Because if somebody's not going through anything, you know, if they're not personally walking through something and struggling, I think you don't see the magnitude of their victory and their overcoming.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing that, you know, she didn't have it all together. But yeah. She still clung to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Ruth didn't have it all together, but she still clung to the Lord, you know, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek.
Yeah.
So. Amen.
Yeah, I think chapter one, towards the end, whenever Naomi is blessing and praying for Orpah and Ruth, and Orpah leaves, of course, and she goes back to the gods of her mothers, and Ruth clings. But I think Naomi's heart there, for me, Naomi has, like, in the book of Ruth, I guess every other time I've ever read it or even studied it, I did not give Naomi the focus that she deserves. Because it's like the book's called Ruth, so you think, I'm just thinking about Ruth. But yet Naomi has, she really did shine in this book in a lot of different ways. And you saw her faith grow. You saw how you were talking about she was struggling and she even wanted to be called Mara. And the Lord's dealt bitterly with me. And she's almost trying to get Orpah and Ruth out of her presence because she's like, the Lord's dealt bitterly. And, you know, she's praying for them rest. And she's like, I can't have another baby. What are you going to do, Ruth? Stick around till it gets old? Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's not going to be anybody for you. Yet I think Ruth, it shows her character and her worthiness and excellence as a woman to stick with Naomi and stay there. But I think also Ruth was submitting to the God of Israel as well, which we know is Yehovah, but Orpah didn't. Orpah returned back home and she returned to the former gods. And so Ruth made that decision, I think, not just to follow Naomi. Ruth was making that decision to follow the God of Israel as well. Mm-hmm. And he said, whoever your God is will be my God. Mm-hmm. And she's submitting to that God. And then, of course, we see Boaz jump in there as a redeemer. But even that, Naomi's like giving her instruction and encouraging her to sit under the wings and the shadow and the submission of Boaz. And basically this will be a, like, Naomi's playing matchmaker and she hit this.
Yeah.
She hit this on the head. So
I think that's what's really cool to see is that she was struggling so much and, you know, felt like God was like, you know, judging her and that he was dealing bitterly with her. But then even in the midst of her lowest point of her life, she still allows the Lord to use her, and she gets to see that God uses her to set Ruth up on the path that God has for her. So it's like, I think God uses Ruth and Naomi, that opportunity to help Ruth and encourage and instruct to bring Naomi out of that darkness that mm-hmm. she was in. And it's like that whole idea of, you know, when you focus, when you take the focus off of what you're going through and your darkness mm-hmm. and your problem and your struggle, and you focus on somebody else, you know, you could take that into discipleship. You could take that into the older pouring into the younger. The Lord will use it to bring you out of a dark place.
Right.
You know, it even kind of reminds me of the movie War Room. You know, when we think Sister Clara is this like amazing powerhouse, but then she shares at the end, like, I'm focusing on helping this younger woman because I went through this mm-hmm. and I was in a dark place and my marriage failed.
Right.
So I'm focusing on helping others because that's what brings me out of the darkness.
Right.
And that's what keeps me in the light, is letting God use me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that part of it mm-hmm. is something that, you know, I knew the story, but just thinking about it on a practical level like that,
mm-hmm. yeah,
it's encouraging.
I think I did learn a lot about Naomi this read through of more than I did in previous. So, and then of course Boaz, as he has become the kinsman redeemer, and he's redeeming by marriage at this point. Like, he's redeeming by marriage. He's going to redeem Ruth and Naomi by marriage. He did surrender and say there's a redeemer closer. And I like Boaz because he's kind of like, hey, you want this field? And the guy at first is not saying much negative. And he's probably thinking, oh, yeah, I love that field. Like, yeah, I'll take that in a heartbeat. And then he goes, but it comes with Naomi and Ruth. Oh, I don't know. That's going to impact my inheritance then. Like, I don't know if I want to take care of them too, okay?
Two more women? I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, this is going to start impacting my inheritance. And mm-hmm. so he's like, that's going to cost me too much.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say something on that. I mean, I know in the beginning we talked about, like, a lot of people talk about this as, like, a romance. And, you know, we were talking about how we don't know if it's quite a romance as we would think of it. But reading through it, it does seem like Boaz is going above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying it's the kind of romance of, like, you know, the Hallmark movies and stuff like that. But it does seem like he is very impressed by her, and he is going above and beyond. So I do feel like there was some kind of, like, outside connection other than obligation, if that makes sense. Like, it seems like there's a connection there because mm-hmm. he's trying hard. And even when he, you know, he's like exhorting, like lifting her up, and, you know, I don't know. I just feel like maybe.
So you think he's more smitten than we thought?
Yeah,
yes.
I do.
I've always mm-hmm. thought that.
I've never known
that you didn't think that. I don't mean it ugly. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm saying I always thought it was a story of love and her commitment to him and you know, and his commitment to her, you know.
On her side, though, I feel like I see it more with him. Like, it seems like he's a little bit more smitten with her.
Yeah.
On her side, she, like, I think it's simply, like, obedience, like an act of obedience.
But I think she, probably the love that, the commitment that he had, she probably fell in love with him. I don't know, I'm a romantic, so I just.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, the fact that he was so good to them, it probably helped.
If you put him in a flannel shirts and a pumpkin patch, I'm on. Like, let's put him in a movie. Boaz of Ruth show.
It's almost like, you know, you're talking about those things, and, you know, it makes me think of that verse, I think it's in Jeremiah, that says, we love him because he first loved us.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're talking about Boaz being more smitten.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was.
Yeah.
But because he loved her first,
yeah,
she came to love him in a way that was greater than what it started out to be.
That's a good point.
Because he's a kinsman redeemer.
Foreshadowing of Christ, yeah.
Well,
you know, just a silly thing, but years ago, wasn't real silly. I showed it to my youth. It was years ago, young ladies' youth. And it was called Boaz or a Bozo. And it related to picking out a mate, choosing a husband mm-hmm. of, you know, you look at how Boaz lived, And then look how bozo. I mean, as far as the bozos would be the ones that did the opposite things of Boaz. And it was a lady, and she just did an excellent job talking to women of make sure you choose Boaz, not a bozo. No comment on that for me. I have a Boaz now. Thank you, Jesus.
Well.
I didn't want y'all to think Todd was a bozo, so I had to correct that real quick.
Well, I do want to bring this up before we had a couple more minutes here before the break. But, you know, Boaz did step in there, that kinsman redeemer. And he redeemed Naomi and Ruth. He redeemed the field. He redeemed all that. And it's really a picture of how he's not just redeeming a field. He's not just doing this for Naomi. He's also bringing, I think this is something that's not talked about enough. He's bringing Ruth in.
Yeah.
Like, he's bringing Ruth in. Mm-hmm. And through the lineage now comes David. Like, he brought youth. It wasn't just about a field. It wasn't just about food. He's literally bringing her into the lineage. Right. He's marrying her into the lineage. And I know she was, like, you could say she already was with the son-in-law before, but there just seems to be something different about this time. And, of course, we know, once we're tracking, that from this union comes what? Obed. And from Obed comes Jesse. And from Jesse comes David. And so this is a very significant union, and it's really, like, you see how much is happening here and what Boaz did to redeem her. And in our own life, this is what Jesus has done for us. He's married us. He's bought us. He has paid the price. He has become. Yeah. He has brought us in. He brought us near by the blood. He has tore down the wall of hostility. We're grafted in by marriage now because we have become his bride. We are his people.
And he redeems the land. He literally redeems the land on which you stand. It's not just it's a full all way through, in, out, every way, all the way.
Absolutely. Right. This is the foreshadow of Ruth, is how Boaz was the kinsman. And I don't want to say it's not some kind of hypothetical story to show us what Jesus. No, it is a real story, because from that real union come the lineage of David, and from the lineage of David comes Jesus.
Right.
Like, this was an essential part of the whole gospel plan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is a foreshadowing of Boaz being her redeemer, Jesus our kinsman redeemer.
Right.
And so if you hear us ever say Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, he is the one who married us to redeem us curse. He has redeemed us from the spiritual famine, from the spiritual death, from the spiritual starvation. He has redeemed the land. He's redeemed us. He's redeemed our bloodline. He's brought me into his DNA. He's made me one with him. I'm in his family. I'm in his lineage. I am his bride now. And it's a beautiful thing when you understand the fullness of what that kinsman redeemer is.
Right. You know, if I'm back on that thing, but if he hadn't loved me first, I mean, goodness, where would you be? Mm-hmm. Because there was really nothing. Now, a lot of people will agree with me on this. There was really not a lot about me to love. I mean, but he loved me. Mm-hmm. He loved me first. And I mean, you think about that. I mean, what would have happened if he hadn't?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it would be awful.
Mm-hmm.
It would be absolutely awful if he had not loved me first.
Yeah. That's
right.
I mean, that's insane.
And he did, you know, there were reasons for him to, as far as Boaz, but there was also a lot of reasons for him not to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of reasons, you know, if we think about it in that light of you know, Ruth definitely wasn't perfect, but also like her history and her heritage. And, you know, the sins of the family and all of those things. And if we think about it like that, you know, with Christ.
I mean, really.
It is pretty cool, too.
It's amazing.
Well, when you go on a hayride in a pumpkin patch, anything can happen. You never know who you're going to meet.
No, I do agree, though.
Is there a story behind that?
No, it's just, we were just talking about Boaz and Ruth being on a hayride and pumpkin patch and flannel shirts.
I thought maybe one of y'all had that happen.
No,
I was just asking.
Like how we didn't think that their love was that kind of love. Like the ooey-gooey.
I wouldn't say ooey-gooey, but I would definitely say I think that he agape'd her, you know, and he agape'd her, and he loved her because he saw, you know, what needed to be done, as a man can do sometimes without emotion, they love, you know. And whereas women, maybe she didn't feel the goosebumps at first, but I think because of what he did for her, she began to fall more and more and more in love with him. And then, of course, he redeemed, you know, her, mm-hmm. her life, her Naomi, he brought her, you know. So it just, there were so many things that, again, maybe not the Hallmark movies at first, but for her to go through the things and to keep doing what she was instructed in the obedience and the submission, she knew there had to be blessing in that. Mm-hmm. She knew, she trusted Naomi's guidance in that, that, you know, there's a blessing in this somewhere. And so she went for it. And I think she was a blessed woman.
If you ask me what I see after reading it from the romance side, I think she was still upset about her husband's death at first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think she was clinging to Naomi. And I think she had a love and an honor for Naomi, but I think Naomi was still her connection to her husband.
Mm, sure.
And I think being with her and honoring that and staying a part of the family was Ruth's way, because I don't think she wanted to go back home, it looks like. And I think that at first, I think Boaz probably was, his eye probably was caught by Ruth. But I think Ruth, more than anything at first, and is looking for that rest. Mm-hmm. Because I think they thought differently than we do today. Mm-hmm. Like,
I do too.
That was Naomi's prayer for her, is that she would find a husband so that she would find rest. Right. And basically that is the insinuation of this. May you come under the covering and the umbrella and the protection and the shelter of another.
That's right.
Because
that's
there's rest in it.
And women want security. Yeah. Women want to know that everything's going to, you know, mm-hmm. be okay. And so she was looking for that. Shelter. I always joke whenever I started dating Todd, you know, beside the fact that I thought he was so good looking, and I used to joke and say he was hot. But anyway, I just thought he was so good looking. I had to look at the fact that I can't go by feelings or emotions. I had to go by where he was. And although I kind of knew his character because I'd met him before, but the simple thing that started my mind to shift and I started to relax a little bit was he went to church by himself. I know that sounds silly.
No, it doesn't.
But a man that will get up on a Sunday night, after he's already been to church, and go again. He was actually going to your church, Pastor Aaron, back then.
He was. He was.
And they had a Sunday night service that he used to go to. Because he called me, or I called him, whatever, and I said, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to church. And I said, oh, really? And he didn't have the kids with him even. He was going by himself. It wasn't like the kids were saying, we want to go to youth. You know, he went by. And that was so impressionable upon me because I had not seen that in right. the gentleman I had tried to date before. And so it's that security. It's that she saw something in him that could provide the rest,
that's
like
right.
you're talking about.
Yeah. And then because you can even see that. I think it's, I don't have them in front of me. I think it's chapter 3, verse 9. Whenever she goes at the end of the bed and she uncovers his feet mm-hmm. and she lays there and he says, what can I do for you? And she goes, she basically proposes marriage at that point. Mm-hmm. She goes, can you spread your wings over me? Can you spread your wings over me? And mm-hmm. that's that notion of I'm coming under your covering. I'm coming right. under your shadow. Protect mm-hmm. me. Because it's for me, it's a shadow of what Jesus does for us in Psalm 91 under the shelter of the Almighty. And I think that a husband is to provide that same shelter for his wife. And Ruth's like freely submitting to that. And I think Boaz is probably smitten, like you probably think she's pretty and something like that or something caught. But then Ruth's making sure, though, it does seem like this. Ruth isn't just going under the shelter. It looks like she's making sure Naomi's going to be under the shelter. And it just so happened by God's providence that Boaz was the one that caught her in the field that was Naomi's relative that would right. become the Redeemer. There's no coincidence. There's no accident. This was God's providence and plan, and this was God's providence and motion that everything worked out just to where Ruth's not going to just find a shelter and a rest, but she's going to be able to bring Naomi
right. mm-hmm.
into that shelter and rest mm-hmm. as well. Something Orpha didn't do. Orpha just ran away.
Right.
Or Orpha just went home.
She just went home. Back.
I think the pursuit, there was mm-hmm. a book one time, it's called The Chase, and my sister said it was an amazing, amazing, one of my sisters loved it before, when she was in the dating phase before she ever got married. But I think looking at the pursuit of how Ruth pursues this situation is an encouragement to widows mm-hmm. who are in a similar situation. Right. I think it's an encouragement to women in general of how we should go about chasing the Lord and seeking first His kingdom and that's His right. righteousness. And then all of these things, the shelter, the mm-hmm. the one that's going to be a godly protector, right. He will provide that. Yeah. And I think that's what I see is, you know, Ruth really was seeking the Lord first, and then she had faith that He would provide mm-hmm. what, you know, her heart desired, mm-hmm. right. that rest, and He did.
There's a Proverbs that I had turned open when I was looking for what you were talking about a while ago, but it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. It kind of goes along with what you're saying there. You know, she was looking for something, but she was seeking the Lord in it. She was committing her ways to the Lord. That settles, that exposes a Boaz. Mm-hmm. But it also exposes a bozo. You know, but it is along those same lines. You know, when right. you pursue the Lord, your thinking is clear. Mm-hmm. Your vision is clear.
Right.
And, you know, you're hearing things that normally you might not would have, but that's what she's seeing here, is she's seeing something because she had sought the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And He heard and He answered.
That's right.
Yeah. And you do see God's yeah. providence on full display in this whole mm-hmm. narrative and account and testimony.
And I think Boaz went after her in a way that women do like, and that is from emotional perspective, a protective perspective. He loved her, he pursued her, he offered protection and a covering. That's what I think a lot of women look for in a man, right. and yeah. with that came her obedience, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. to him, her and, loyalty.
And Boaz did seem like a pretty good guy, like mm-hmm. honestly, like he was giving, he was generous, you know, he was. You know, part of the law was that you could go glean the outer sides, and then mm-hmm. the stuff that fell, the sheaves that fell, you could glean from that too. But he's like giving her sheaves. Like he's like, hey, send her home with this, or mm-hmm. bring her to the table and let her eat. And maybe it was because he was smitten, maybe. But it seems like it wasn't.
He had that cheerful giving.
He was yeah. providing for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was is a good book. I really enjoyed Ruth. It's probably one that is, if you've never read its four chapters, maybe you didn't get to join in with us, go read it. It's really good.
Yeah.
And it's a very good story, and it's a very good narrative. I don't know. I hate to call them story, but there's no way else to say it. Like, it's a good book. All right, it's a good book. We'll say
it's
like that.
A narrative and a book and a manual.
Yeah. yeah.
It's a good story, it's just and
good.
A manual.
It's just
a
good.
A life manual. Yeah.
So tomorrow we will start the book of Jude. Amen. All righty. Well, let's do our first trivia question, then we're going to come back in here, and then we'll get started with where we're going to go this morning. Tuesday question number one, sponsored by Higdon Land Surveying. What role did God appoint Ezekiel to be for the house of Israel? What role did God appoint Ezekiel to be for the house of Israel? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back on this October 21st, 2025. Don't forget Saturday night, chili cook-off here at Bethel Fellowship, Bethel Christian Academy there in the gym. It's going to be a great night. All things start at 4 o'clock, and we're going, the doors open at 4. The game, the food starts at 5, and the games, I mean the auction. Sorry, I'm going to get this straight here. The auction starts at 6. All right, we do have an answer for this trivia question. I'm not for sure. Let me make sure I get the language right. Miss Crystal had used a adjective earlier to explain a very good-looking hot guy had called in. Is that correct? Adjectives you used? Is that what you?
I thought he was real good-looking. Well, I even said hot.
She said he was hot. That's what she said.
I think that's the adjectives that were used to describe
this.
It
embarrasses people, so I stopped kind of saying it because I'm like. I was just a term we used to joke with. He's hot. You know, so. But I don't mean anything ugly.
Back in the day.
Yeah, hey, back in the day.
We're keeping it alive.
Yeah,
all right.
You should see how old
Brother Todd got it correct. It is Watchman. What role did God appoint Ezekiel to be for the house of Israel? Watchman. That was Todd Taylor.
That's all right. Thank God.
All right. No other Todd. She's calling good looking or hot. All
right. No,
it's just
right.
Todd Taylor.
That's the hot guy right there. No, let's say that's my hot guy. That way other people can be hot too. Okay, let's get off this subject because I'm going deeper and deeper here. I'm digging
that
a hole.
That hole's getting deeper and deeper in it.
Well, good stuff. Good stuff. I love it. All right. Miss Crystal, where are we going this morning?
Well, I'm going to Luke 10.
Luke 10.
Excuse me. I'm just having trouble clearing my throat
me
this
too.
Morning. But anyway, Todd and I, the hot guy, we had a conversation the other day about this. I think it was Saturday morning. I was reading, you know how you're reading your scriptures, and I'm following along with the reading three a day, and this is a little behind that, but anyway, where are we, by the way? Does anybody know what chapter we're supposed to be in? I think it's Luke.
I had it somewhere.
I know. I know I'm behind.
I have to find it.
Okay, it's okay. Excuse me. But anyway, I was reading in Luke. And it's the story, if you look at Luke 10, verse 1, I'll just put it all in context, I'll read it. verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them ahead of him, in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He told them, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Then he gives them instruction, and just for time's sake, never mind. We're going to read it. Now go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Don't carry a money bag, traveling bag, or sandals. Don't greet anyone along the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. If a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they offer, for the worker is worthy of his wages. Don't be moving from house to house. When you enter any town and they welcome you, eat the things set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near you. When you enter any town and they don't welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we're wiping off as a witness against you even the dust of your town that clings to our feet. Excuse me. Know this for certain, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. So he's just giving them instruction of what to do. He sends out 70. There's some controversy over, was it 72 or 70, but we're not going to go into that. I think it was some kind of calculation they did in the pairs and whatever. So anyway, verse 13, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, if the miracles that were done there, whatever, repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. I'm going to jump down to verse 17, so he goes back to the 70. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So they're all excited. They went out and they did all these instructions that he told them to do. And they come back, and the thing that they're rejoicing over is that even the demons are submitted to us. You know, they're all excited about this. And Jesus says in verse 18, he said to them, look, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a lightning flash. Look, I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will ever harm you. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, so as I'm reading this, you know, I'm listening to what the Lord's saying, and all of a sudden in verse 21, it says, in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and have revealed them to infants. And I'm telling you what, when it said that he rejoiced, and I'm simple in my understanding. I'm simple in the way I read, okay? I that's just the way I study. And I saw the Lord rejoicing. And for me, in my simpleness, I just have never pictured Jesus praying, I mean, lifting his hands, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. I guess in my mind, somewhere, they were separated. And why, I don't know. I'm just saying that's where I was. Because if you look at John, and you don't have to go there, I'm just backing up to John 3:21. It says, when all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. As he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved, I take delight in you. And so, I don't know, somewhere along the line in my teaching, I've never pictured Jesus rejoicing in the Holy Spirit as we do. Mm-hmm. I guess I thought he's Jesus. He don't need to do that. But it says, I'm telling you, it was simple. But for me, it's like I got excited when I said he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. And why I would think that he didn't do that, I don't know, because it clearly says that the Holy Spirit descended down on him. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in human form, so the Holy Spirit came down to him so he could experience as we experienced. And so he's rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. And I just saw I was picturing in my mind, how would Jesus do that? You know, as for us as Christianese and Christian people, we lift our hands and we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I guess he did that. I don't know what he did, but he was rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. And I got it just did something for me. And I'm like, we are to be as Christ. Mm-hmm. We are to be as Jesus does. And look what he begins to rejoice in. He's rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if he's praying in the Spirit. I don't know what he's doing, but excuse me, all of a sudden he begins to say, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure, all things have been entrusted to me by my Father. So he's all excited about this. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. So what it's saying is Jesus is the one that causes man to be revealed to the Father, you know, mm-hmm. And Jesus is rejoicing in that fact. Thank you. He's saying, thank you, God, that you're going to let these people have revelation and that I get to assist in that. And he is mm-hmm. God. We understand that. I'm not trying to make a whole doctrine on the separation. I'm saying Jesus is rejoicing in the Holy Spirit over that fact. And then turning to his disciples, he says privately, the eyes that see the things that you see are blessed. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see the things you see, yet you didn't see them. I mean, yet didn't see them. To hear the things you hear, yet didn't hear them. And so if we turn to Ephesians 1, I'm just telling you where I went in my study. So I said, I'll bring it to the radio. And Todd and I kind of discussed some things in it too. And it says, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved. We have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he planned in him for the administration of the days of fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth to him. So this is what Jesus is rejoicing about. I mean, he is just like, God, I just begin to praise you. I thank you, Father, that you are doing this thing in the earth right now. You allowed me to come, you know. Yes, Jesus had to die. We get all that. But he when they come back and they're rejoicing over the demons that submit to them, he goes, wait a minute. Hold on. Don't rejoice in that. You know, rejoice in the fact that your name's written down in the book.
That's the harder thing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I get to reveal this to you, you know, and he's rejoicing.
I think, you know, as you were reading that first, a lot of those things popped out at me. And that was when you read the part about don't rejoice over that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought, and where he said that the kingdom of heaven has drawn nigh unto thee, mm-hmm. those are just things that happen.
Right, right.
When you rejoice in the Spirit, the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's book, in the light book of life.
Right.
When you rejoice over those kind of things, yeah. when you seek the Lord, when you pursue Him, these things just are part of that.
That's right.
They're a, I don't want to be light-minded about, but they're a given. They're given for you to be able to heal the sick. Mm-hmm. And it's a given in this place that He's talking about.
Right.
Not just because you go to church, but when you're His, mm-hmm. you are being put in a position where you can say, the kingdom of heaven has right. drawn nigh unto thee.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You're now in the position of saying, your sins are forgiven.
Right.
You know, and I mean, it was kind of like as you were reading that, that's mm-hmm. what was coming to me. Mm-hmm. You do this. I mean, your name gets put in this book. It's just a fact that you can drive out demons.
That's right.
I love that he rebuke isn't always as negative as we think.
That's
it
right.
Is.
That's right.
Me and Ethan looked into this one day. I think it's the word repudiate. I'll have to look into it. But there's a word that's actually better for how we use the word rebuke, and it's not rebuke. There's a word when we think of rebuke. There's actually a different word for that. But I love how he corrects them, their thinking here. And then, so he's teaching them, and then he teaches them how to rejoice in the right thing.
That's right.
Like, yeah. he's telling them what not to do, but then he shows them what to do.
Exactly.
And I mean, it's not just because he's trying to show them, but it's because he's overflowing with the joy of the Spirit.
That's right.
But he's still teaching them, even in his rejoicing. like, he's teaching them how and why, you know, why we rejoice over this other thing. You know, over the fact that our names are written down in the
and for him,
Lamb's Book of Life.
You know, we're on this the teaching on Wednesday nights, and it's been good, but for him, it's like it's a nothing.
Yeah,
because he says, you know, look, I watched Satan fall from heaven
yeah, really.
Like lightning. What are y'all talking about? Like, you know,
yeah, that's
it was
I
like
thought.
A flash. He's nothing.
And
you know, yeah,
he's like,
look,
what?
I've given you authority. Mm-hmm. You know, to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will ever hurt you. However, don't rejoice in that. That's nothing. Yeah. That's already done.
Whatever.
I took care of that.
So.
Yeah. I've taken, you know, I've already watched that.
Right.
But rejoice that your name is written. I'm sorry. I got people texting me. It's written in the book, you know, of Book of Life. It's in, you're going to be with me and I'm going to reveal these things to you. Todd says it's Christ in us, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to read these, instead of trying to flip back and forth.
But
go
I
ahead.
Do want to say one
no,
thing.
Go ahead.
One of the things that you said here, when you read verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced mm-hmm. in spirit.
That's right.
That is a revelation
yeah.
to me.
Me
I
too.
Mean, you know, I've learned to weep in the Spirit. I've learned to pray in the
yeah.
Spirit. I've thought of those things, but I've never thought about rejoicing
right.
in the Spirit.
You know,
you know, and maybe
yeah.
I do. I've just never put a name on it, but it seems different.
Mm-hmm. Right. It what like I said for me, it was. And why I never thought, I knew Jesus prayed, John, you know, was it John 17? He says mm-hmm. this prayer. I knew Jesus prayed. I knew, you know, he wept, you know, he had emotions. But when I saw it, it says, my yeah. translation says the Holy Spirit, yours, King James says Spirit. When he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. You know, to just imagine
something's
Jesus.
Different.
It's like, you're Jesus. You don't need to rejoice.
Yeah, it's something's different.
But it's like he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit over the fact that I get to reveal to Karen and to Hannah and to Pastor Aaron that, you know, who God is, mm-hmm. you know, and of course he is God. But you know what I'm saying? The whole rejoicing just,
right.
it just jumped off the page to me. I was like, Jesus rejoiced
yeah.
in the Holy Spirit? Really? Did he speak in tongues? Did
but
he do?
It goes back to that
know.
Place where he sang to them, don't rejoice over this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice that you get to show people who I am.
That's right.
Rejoice that you get to work out the work of the Lord on
right.
the earth. Rejoice over that thing because, again, that's the best place.
That's right.
The rest of it is just
It's already done. Yeah,
it's a result of this place.
Yeah, I took care of healing. Uh-huh. I took care of demons.
There's so much there that you can glean from.
I like that word too.
Surely. No, I'm not kidding. Like, I mean, that verse alone could speak so many different. To me, what it's speaking is also like, you know, Jesus. Whenever we have that, I think about those times of refreshing and how rejoicing brings refreshing to you, and to have that rejoicing in the Spirit, he's actually thinking about the others being blessed.
That's right.
Because it said he revealed these things to the children. So what that speaks to me is, if I want this type of rejoicing in the Holy Spirit, then focus on blessing others.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And seeing God be able to bless others.
Right.
Because that's why he was rejoicing, because somebody else got to share what he had.
Yeah.
Somebody else got to share.
Because
it said
he would be revealed by him. He's going to do the revealing.
Right.
You know? He chooses. You know, we don't take anything. I'm not taking anything away from God. I'm just saying God chose him. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:21. And these are just all confirmation of who he is.
Oh, no. We're at a heartbreak. We're at a heartbreak.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Hold right there. All right. We'll do our second trivia question of the day. What was the name of the lawyer Paul called for? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Boxer Radio. All right. We are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. We're trucking right along on this October 21st. Welcome in to those that's coming, maybe that's just joining us now. Maybe you're just now getting in your car. Have a blessed day to those who are having to go to work at this time. We love you. We bless you. I'm praying for you today. One more time, don't forget, this Saturday night, you'll hear us talk about quite a bit. We're very excited about this event, Wednesday, Saturday night. It's always a great time of fellowship, community, and, of course, we are thankful for everybody that comes out and participates and helps a really worthy cause of Bethel Christian Academy. And we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
And it's so much fun. It really is
a lot of fun.
I mean, it's not fun when people bid against you, but, you know, usually like Justin Hatfield or something like that. Just kidding, Justin.
That's enough.
Now, one year we were supposed to, we didn't get it. We was going to have a prank to where we were going to hand out false numbers as a joke, and every one of them is going to be Justin Hatfield's number. So every time, every time somebody bid, it was going to be Justin's number, and it was going to be this whole big joke, but we didn't get it done.
Yeah.
Justin's probably going, what have I ever done to deserve this?
Well,
I'm trying to help.
Yeah, we're just trying to help him. Now, he did buy a mower one time on accident. He was talking to me and Josh Newton, and all of a sudden said, so did Justin Hatfield. Justin said, what? And he
hilarious.
Did not realize he bought a mower. Like, he really did not
realize. That's happened to several people of, like, you're talking, and I talk with my hands and all, and they're like, they'll look at you, though, most of the time and go, are you, you know, I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
I have to tell you now, that's a good strategy y'all got going on there.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to figure out how to engage him in conversation again this year, but make sure he's doing it to where his, like, you know, his hands up, and we're going to do it on the big ticket items, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So,
that's
a
good strategy.
It is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun.
It is a good time. Yeah. And even the fellowship and the food and just the kids running around.
Yeah.
Hay rides. It's a really good time.
Amen.
And it's not just one particular church. It's the body of Christ coming together to support our school. Thank goodness. But also just a fellowship. And like I said, breaking bread, eating chili, you know, eating too much chili, eating too many desserts and all those things. And there are games for the kids, you know. But the auction is a really good time. They have an auctioneer. So it's done well.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, it is. But we were talking about right before the break, we're in Luke 10. And it started out, I'll just kind of recap, in case you're just now joining us. We were with the 70, where Jesus sends out the 70s by twos, and he gives them instructions how to go out. And they go out, and they are you know, on an evangelistic mission, you know, they go forth and they're just speaking to people about Jesus. But they come back in verse 17 and they're rejoicing. The 70 return with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he says to them, look, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a lightning flash. Look, I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will ever harm you. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And then we all got excited over verse 21. Mm-hmm. In that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted in me. I'm sorry, I lost my place. Entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him.
Who did he say he revealed these things to? The infants? That's because they take it trustingly.
That's right. Children.
They take it like children. They're trusting the information and the source from which it came. And they're believing it with everything that they have because of who said it.
Yeah.
You know.
Because you tell a child this, and they're like, oh, okay. And they do it because you're the big person and they trust you.
Right.
You know. But whereas the wise and learned have a hard time trusting anything because they haven't learned it that way.
Well, I think they have a hard time with it sometimes because they want to take credit for the wisdom of it.
Yeah, look how smart I am.
And, you know, I mean, this is incredible how much this has just opened up. I mean, I think that if I could get this, you know, if I could get, don't rejoice over this, rejoice over this.
That's right.
Then greater things would start to happen.
That's right.
I would begin to see because my eyes are on the right one.
Mm-hmm. And because we strive to have ministry. We strive to heal the sick, you know, through Jesus, of course. And we strive to cast out demons. And we rejoice when those things happen. And we want those things to happen. And those things should happen. We should lay hands upon the sick. Mm-hmm. And they should recover. And the demons shall be cast out. And, you know, the captive set free. All the scripture, we do believe that it should. But Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. He didn't rejoice because a bunch of people got set free from demons. He didn't rejoice because a bunch of people got sick, even though he was grateful for it.
Right.
He rejoiced in the fact that you know, God, you are revealing
yourself
to the infants, those that will simply come and say, Jesus is Lord, and I accept him. And Jesus is excited that he gets to be the one, human part of God, that gets to reveal to the people. So I'm just going to finish up a few scriptures here. I'm going to read them real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Mm-hmm. John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. Mm-hmm. That just makes me think over and over of Boaz. It makes me think of what we just talked about in Ruth, you know, that he gave us the right. Boaz gave Ruth the right to come into his lineage, you know, to come into her inheritance, really. And that's what God did for us. 1 Corinthians 1:28-29. God has chose what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to what is viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. God is the one who chose what is insignificant. I'm having trouble with that word this morning. But he's the one, you know, that will reveal. Jesus will reveal, you know.
Right.
I think I skipped
there
one.
There was one in Romans.
Yeah, I missed Romans 5. You want to read it? Romans 5 and 8? I can do it.
5:8.
Yeah.
It said, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is that the one you wanted?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
That's right.
That's Isn't right. that something?
Todd says the greatest miracle ever is Christ in us.
Right.
I mean, that is what Jesus was rejoicing in. You know, he was rejoicing in the Holy Spirit that we're going to come into this revelation that Christ in us. Oh, I thought you were looking
at it. I thought he was too.
And the last one, I don't think I read Philippians 2, Mm-mm. 9 and 11. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The God the Father is glorified in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is rejoicing in the Holy Spirit about
right,
all this.
Right.
You know, he's just like, forget about the demons. Go do it. That's good. But don't just rejoice in that. I saw Satan fall. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's already done. So it just leaped off the page. And so I'm excited about it as far as we all know Christ in us. You know, we do. But to come into the fact that Jesus was excited about that. He was excited and said, you know, God's revealing this to babies, not to the wise. You know, in verse 23 of, back to Luke 10, 23, where we started, we already read this, but I'm going to read it again. It says, then turning to his disciples, he said privately, the eyes that see the things you see are blessed. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see the things you see, mm-hmm. yet didn't see them. To hear the things you hear, yet didn't hear them. What he's saying, you are privileged. You are getting to be a part of the revelation that I'm about to reveal to the earth. You know, and he's rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. Remember John 3, we already read it. The Holy Spirit descended on him and he began to rejoice in the Holy Spirit he experienced like we did. So,
well, I love that what you just read about the eyes that see these things are blessed, and about the prophets and the kings, they desire to see these things that we see but have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, because those who come to him trusting what he says, not trying to add anything to it, not trying to make it just because of them, that just trust it like children, mm-hmm. believe it because he said it. We're seeing things that it's the purpose and the plan of God.
That's right.
It's the wisdom and the knowledge of the Almighty. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I mean, it's this life with the Lord just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
No matter how long you've walked in it, if you're paying attention to the life of your life lived in the Lord, you see that it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and not just, but more purposeful. Mm-hmm. Your life as you grow in the Lord, it's not about your physical age, it's about your years in the Lord, and your years in the Lord could be a month.
Right.
But the purpose that he gives to you, and I mean, you're talking about it right here. Mm-hmm. You read about the purpose of a Christian in the very first scriptures you wrote,
right.
read here, mm-hmm. and you just see your life getting bigger and mm-hmm. having more purpose on it. And you know, even earlier when we were talking about in the book of Ruth, and you know, talking about Naomi and how Ruth followed her, that scripture where Paul says to the people, he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ."
Right.
You know, he didn't say. Follow me as I cast out demons. Mm-hmm. Follow me as I do this. Follow me as I heal the sick. He said, follow me as I follow Christ so that they may see him.
Yeah, amen.
You know, and
there's that revealing again.
That blessed are your mm-hmm. eyes that see.
Yeah.
And you're carrying that mm-hmm. into this world.
That's right.
What you have seen and heard, you're showing that to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, you think about all these things. You think, well, you know, your life in the Lord is exciting, but it keeps getting more so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It keeps having more purpose.
That's right.
You know, it never dims.
No, it doesn't.
Or lessens.
And that's what Jesus was rejoicing in, that he could
that's
reveal
right.
to
right.
us the truth. You know,
right.
He could have kept it to himself and, you know, gave instruction, y'all go out and do this. But he was excited and rejoicing on the Holy Spirit that God is allowing us to be revealed the truth of who Jesus is and what he's going to do and how he's going to redeem us. He's like, you're going to get to see all these things. You're going to get to do it. Even though the instructions he gave were great. He was telling them to the 70. He's, you know, and they went out and I'm sure they did a great work. And it says, he told them, you know, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now go. So that's the first instruction. Just go. You know, maybe speaking to us today. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves.
I taught that in Sunday school one time, and it just dawned on me as I read it that day is that he told them to pray that that God would send laborers into the field, and the next day he said, you go. You need to be prepared to be and willing to be the answer to the prayer.
That's right.
You know, you can't just pray. You need to be willing to be the answer. To that prayer.
That's right.
That's what they were being, right. The answer to their prayer.
And sometimes Christ in us, we are assisting Jesus in revealing the truth to others and revealing him to them. That's why, like you said, Paul said, you know, follow Christ as I follow, you know, follow me as I follow Christ, you know. And he was saying, you know, Jesus is rejoicing that now, even though he goes to the cross and he dies, he's leaving it where we can.
That's
now,
right.
As, you know, adoptive children of Christ, we can now reveal the truth to others, you know, so it's just a ripple effect from Christ down to us.
It's a greater thing.
And he says, I'm sending you out, excuse me, like lambs among wolves. I saw Flashpoint. It was actually broadcast at night, but it plays the next morning on YouTube. Or I played it the next morning on YouTube. And it says, I'm sending you out like lambs. And there was a football player. His name's Mo. I can't remember the last name, but he's on Flashpoint quite a bit. And they literally go, their mission and what their evangelism that they do is they go into parades. Like there's one going on called No Kings. And then there's one going on the Pride Parade that was going on. Well, they in Orlando, Florida, went to this parade and they were civil. They were not being, you know, violent or anything, but, you know, they were getting attacked and lambs and into the wolves is what it seemed like. And all they were doing was preaching Christ. Jesus loves you. And they were just saying that. And the cops arrested them, threw him on the ground, arrested them. So, you know, what I'm saying is, but that's their ministry,
right.
Is they want to go. I don't know how effective they are. They did say that, you know, people are getting saved through it. So that's the goal. But I'm just saying Jesus was revealing to the 70 what you need to go do. So they go do this. Don't carry money bags, da-da-da. They go through all that. Heal the sick. That's a wonderful thing. Don't be moving from house to house. When you enter a town, they welcome you. Eat the things set before you. He's given complete instruction. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. When you enter any town and they don't welcome you, go out into the streets and say, we're wiping off, excuse me, as a witness against you, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet. Know this for certain, the kingdom of God has come near. And so they're all pumped. They have went out, just as this guy is. He's this football player, Mose, whatever his name is. He's all excited now because he said, I'm considered worthy now that I've been persecuted. He goes, but now we're fighting back. Because they were encouraging him, don't just stay there. I got arrested for Christ and I'm done. He said, no, we're ready to fight. They're even going to go against the town to say you illegally arrested him because he was not doing anything. And they got it all on video. Da, da, da. So as Christians, we need to stand up. So all these things are going on. You know, all this is happening. And they're all excited and come back. And Jesus just kind of goes, you know, he puts a different touch on it. He's like, well, wait, that's good. But, and he just begins to rejoice in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Probably even as he's saying
right.
it. I'm putting words, and I don't mean to, but.
I like the verse, you know, here's the part I need to get in my thinking is verse 3.
Verse 3? Oh, hold on, let me go back.
I know it's back. But he says, behold, I send you. You know, and if he's sending you, you're not going by yourself.
That's right.
If he's sending you, you're not going. He said, don't take a purse.
That's right.
But you're not going unequipped.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going unprovided for. You know, I think, I don't know, it's just, I keep thinking about Jesus when he was a young boy in the temple, and he said to his parents, "Did you not know?
Right.
I must be about my Father's business." All of a sudden, now I'm not making light, because he's saying I'm going to send you as lambs into the sheep of wolves.
Right.
So that's not going to be real pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be rejected and all that. And then he says over here, there's a rejoicing taking place at the end of it. But it just seems, again, if we could keep our eyes focused on what he has said about, I'm sending you. Now I'm rejoicing because this is who I am in you.
Yeah.
It seems like that's one of the reasons that people in those days and in current days can go forth and endure,
mm-hmm.
endure
mm-hmm.
the things that they endure in the name of the Lord.
Right.
Just keep going and going because their eyes have seen something. Now, I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about anybody else.
Definitely.
Because I get nervous about that stuff.
Yeah.
I get nervous about going out and ministering to mm-hmm. people, you know, and this has put a whole different light on it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, if we'll rejoice in the things that Jesus rejoiced in,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's what we got it. We rejoice in, I prayed for that lady and her hand got healed. I was able to pray over that man and this demon came out. You know, we rejoice and we should.
Yes,
I mean, it's a miraculous thing and it's great.
Yeah.
But the thing we should be rejoicing is what did Jesus rejoice in?
Right.
And he said, rejoice in the fact your name's written in the book of life.
That's right.
And your name will be in heaven.
Right.
You know, and I get to assist the Lord in revealing revealing it to you.
Because your name, where your name's written, these things are part of who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something. It really has opened up a lot for me today.
I know. Well, we got a question. Do you think when they went out, everyone received manifest healing that they prayed for?
Hmm.
It doesn't really say. I'm being honest. I'm not going to try to add to or take away. But it just says Jesus commanded them to
heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it says heal the sick that are therein.
And then it just jumps to the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think... Not all, but like they're asking, do you think everyone, I don't know that I don't think everyone got healed from Jesus, you know. So I would say, no, not everyone. He told them to heal the sick who are there, is what he says.
Well, I think the key thing is the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you in that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
There's like an additional, it's a spiritual
mm-hmm.
part of just a physical healing.
Right.
Does that sound right?
Well, it says heal the sick.
Mm-hmm. But then he says, and
say
unto them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The kingdom of God has come near. So to answer your question, do you think when they went out, everyone received manifest healing that they prayed for? I would say no. I don't think, I think it really there isn't an answer in the word about it. So let's don't answer it. How about that? Because, Pastor, if you want to join, I just say even Jesus didn't heal everyone. But he told them to go and heal the ones that were there is what it says.
Yeah, I would say they just went and started praying for people and the Lord showed up.
Yeah.
And when the Lord did manifest, it was about the kingdom of God. Man, because
mm-hmm.
the signs, wonders, miracles, casting out demons, drinking things that are poisonous, taking up serpents, that was a sign of the kingdom.
Of
that wasn't a manifestation of their great faith or their great accomplishments or their might. It's literally a sign of the kingdom. And that was Jesus showing them the kingdom is nigh unto you today.
Right.
And so.
But it's a good question.
It is.
Just, but I don't think the word actually says everyone was healed. But he told them to go and heal the ones that were there. So I don't know. You'd have to kind of.
Do some more searching.
Yeah. It may be a different translation.
Because I do know some people that believe that when Jesus healed the sick,
mm-hmm.
they take that to mean he healed everyone that was present. Thus, and were sick, he healed them all.
Yeah.
I think those who made themselves available to him,
right,
he did heal, but there's probably crippled people in the back corner that did not want it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going there, that. And he wasn't throwing pixie dust out in the streets. It was like those who came to him,
mm-hmm.
he did it.
Right.
I've wondered many times about the lepers, you know, how many were there? 11? or was there nine
just
or ten?
Ten.
I jumped all the way around it, didn't I? But he healed them and told them to go, and only one returned to thank him. I've often wondered what happened to the others. And I don't know that anything did, but I've wondered.
Well, Jesus even says, where are the other nine? Uh-huh. What happened to
them? I mean,
them?
He questioned that they didn't come back and rejoice mm-hmm. in thanking.
Right.
Thanking him. And I've wondered about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just, it is a question, because some people I do know, they think he healed everybody mm-hmm. that he spoke healing over. And I understand what you're saying about those that sat back in the corner and didn't make themselves.
Well, we know from Nazareth that he didn't, like, because their lack of belief
right.
in their. But it wasn't like they didn't have enough moral fortitude. They didn't see him. Mm-hmm. They weren't interested in him
right.
praying
right.
for them, because, well, that's Joseph's kid.
You're right.
Uh-huh. You know, that's the kid that came out of that whole predicament
right.
with Joseph and Mary.
Right.
You remember him?
Right.
Like, he's the carpenter kid.
Right.
And they're not even inquiring him for healing, really. They're,
right.
I don't think it's like Jesus is trying to pray and break through, and they're like, Jesus, like, I just don't understand. Can't do it today. No, like,
yeah.
they're not even looking to him as healer or deliverer. They're not even desiring it, because they don't see Jesus that way. They're blinded by their perception of who he was as the carpenter's son or Mary's son. But those, such as the woman with the issue of blood, that never failed. Like, he never failed
yeah.
in those areas. Or even the, you know, the centurion's daughter. Or you can go into other ones. One listener, you know, brought up Acts 10:38, where it's talking about, I think it's Paul, who's filled with the Holy Ghost, and all those who are oppressed by the devil doing good to all. Like, those are those that are coming to the kingdom. That's like, we're standing in faith. Like, we're looking to Jesus for our healer, savior. To them, he did heal. But to the others, I don't think he just walked into a city, and then as soon as he stepped into the city,
yeah.
everybody's healed.
Right.
I would say probably most likely the way it looks, those who the disciples prayed for, who were the people, like, come to them and said, pray for us, I would probably like to venture to say most of them did receive healing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when we say the word all, we just think
everybody.
Sick person
yeah.
in the city. Every.
Yeah.
I think it's to those who
came
submitted
to,
themselves
and received the revelation of who he was.
That's right.
And it makes you even wonder, it's a little stretch and maybe it's too far, I don't know. Did Jesus reveal himself to people? What am I trying to say? Because it says that he would reveal himself to people, you know, is what he's saying. It says that the Son desires to reveal him. You know, did God, I mean, as Jesus is walking along healing people, is Jesus revealing himself to the ones he wants to? Yeah, I don't know. Is that a far stretch? I don't know. I'm just saying, if he's the one that reveals himself, I mean, reveals to others about God and who he is and what he did when he's walking through a town, does his presence reveal to certain ones and the other ones don't accept it? I don't know. It's kind of a...
I think you're going to get into a much deeper theological conversation that I would enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like getting into my nerdgram here.
I mean, if he's omnipresent, if he's
yeah.
everything, God knows everything, you know. Did Jesus walk in that anointing and say, Karen, I want the revelation to come to carry. That goes back to predestination and all those things,
yeah.
and I don't know.
Well, I think there's a blanket, omnipresence, he's everywhere type of presence.
Yeah.
But then I think there's a pulling on certain ones. And why he pulls on those, I'm not for sure. The availability to all men is there. But the pull of the Holy Spirit, you can even go back to John 6:44, it's there. No one comes to the Father unless the Son draws him. How's the Son draw him? Through the Spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like no one comes to the Father except through the Spirit drawing
them. That's
him.
What, yeah.
There's a blanket presence that's for everybody. There's a grace for everybody. There's
mm-hmm.
what we call in theology common grace, that God's goodness, it rains on the just and on the unjust, that even the wicked, most foul sinner are still experiencing God's grace mm-hmm. and God's goodness.
So mm-hmm. do you, in saying that, do you know you were talking about the pool, do you think that because it's available to everyone, is there a pull on everyone at some point in time? Is there a drawing on everyone's life at some point in time?
I think there will be a drawing when the gospel's preached. I think there is that drawing. Now, this brings up a much deeper conversation, like if you're preaching the gospel to 200 people in a room, 20 responds and 180 rejects. Why did those 20 respond and the 180 didn't? And it would be very easy and simple just to say, well, they didn't want it. Like, and they just left. But there's something in those 20. Mm-hmm. Their eyes were open. Their spirits were enlightened. Why? I'm not for sure I'm smart enough to give you an answer. There's going to be a lot of theologians much brighter than I am by far. But there's something in those 20 that happened mm-hmm. that didn't happen to 100. Other 180.
And, you know, I'm sitting here, and as I'm asking that, I think, well, you know, don't rejoice over that. Don't worry about that. Don't wonder about that.
Yeah.
Wonder and rejoice over the fact that you're where your name is written, and wonder and rejoice over the fact that you get to reveal who He is to them.
Yeah.
And, again, we don't want to go into predestination or not or whatever. But in Ephesians, it does say, praise the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, for He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. So did he choose people, or is He saying He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless? Was He saying, you know, that He chose the world to be holy and blameless? Or is He saying, Karen, I chose you specifically? You know what I'm saying? You could go in so many different ways, and we may be getting something we're not going to have enough time.
I always felt like that was, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you.
No,
it's okay.
I always felt like I had it predestination at first, you know, people. But as I studied that a little bit, it was more, to me, became more of a thing where He said, if you will come to Me, I have predestined that you will be holy. Mm-hmm. I have predestined that you wouldn't have, I would show you My wisdom. I have predestined that in Me, these things are for you. Yeah. What do you got?
Before the foundation of the world is what He says, that I set it up for people to be holy and blameless. In love, He predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for Himself according to His favor and will, to the praise of glorious grace that He favored us in within the Beloved. And then it just goes on and on and on.
I think every serious Bible student has to believe in predestination. Like, you cannot ignore it. You can't ignore the words chosen, elect, predestined. It's all throughout Pauline theology. But I think the question you're going to have to ask yourself is it conditional or unconditional? And now the Calvinist side would be more unconditional. The Arminian side would be more conditional. I think you're just going to have to reconcile that within your theology of what you're going to believe on that. And there's a lot of challenging scriptures. Romans 8, those who He calls, He justifies, He predestines. And then you get into Romans 9, you can talk about, is that talking about Gentile and Israel? Is that talking about as the national choosing? All throughout Pauline epistles and theology, like predestination, the elect, chosen, they're there. Like, those words are very present. You can't ignore them. It's just trying to reconcile the foreknowledge aspect. And then now free will, I'm careful like how we teach free will, because you got to remember free will was very much corrupted under Erasmus and to the point where he was deemed a heretic by the church. So I think there is free will, but free will never contradicts the sovereignty of God, and sovereignty of God never contradicts free will. Mm. You can go back to the Old Testament. You know, you can go back to even even in the New Testament. We'll go to Acts chapter, I think it's Acts chapter 2. Peter preaches the first sermon after Pentecost, and what's he tell him? The Jesus that you killed according to the foundation of the world. Mm. I mean, according to the plan of God before the foundation of the world. Peter's preaching to the Jews. He's condemning the Jews. He's saying, you killed Jesus, and you did it because of your own heart, but yet you did it according to the plan of God that was laid out before the foundation of the world, just like you read, predestined, chosen before the foundation of the world. God's already known. He already knows it. He already knows the end from the beginning. He's already wrote the end of the book. He knows exactly how it played out. He knew before he created Adam he was going to need a lamb. Like he knew it.
Yeah.
And so free will of man and the sovereignty of God do not counteract each other. They actually coincide. They are not opposite enemies. They're actually family. Mm-hmm. And they're together. And so in this, I think that understanding predestination, you're going to have to reconcile how you see that. There's a lot of books you can read, a lot of challenging things you can read. Martin Luther, Bondage of the Will, he wrote one, but he's going to be more unconditional. J.I. Packard, Sovereignty of God and the Evangelism. Sovereignty of God and Evangelism is a really cool book to play around with. But a lot of these are Reformed people that's going to be writing this stuff. So you can read that kind of things. Of course, Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther was a response to Erasmus, and Erasmus was teaching more than just like this radical view of free will. He was basically teaching that we are good by nature, and that gets into a whole nother fallacy that we are not sinful, that we are right, and that that's kind of a modern day heresy that we are right when we're born. We're not sinful. We're not born into sin. We sin, and then we need a savior. But that would counteract why Jesus even had to be born of the Holy Spirit, not of Joseph, because the fact he wasn't born of Joseph and born of a Virgin Mary was that the sin of the blood would not be coming down through his lineage, and he wasn't inheriting sin. And so, like, if that's the case and Erasmus is right, then we are good by nature and not wrathful by nature. But yet Ephesians tells us we are children of wrath by nature. And so there's so much to play into this. This is where nerding out, and this is fun. This is fun to me. Yeah. We can do this all day, but I do have an answer question that's run off this, and I would like to address this so there's no confusion. There was the picture of, I mean, there was a story, and this is in Luke, and we can find it in Luke, and we can find it in Mark, and we can find it in Matthew. I do believe all three. After Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, there's a boy that he comes upon that the disciples are praying for. The disciples could not get this demon out of this boy.
Right.
And so they're frustrated and they're confused. It almost seems as if they're shocked. Like, why is this not working for us right now? And Jesus comes down, deals with the demon. And he, you know, this is, you know, these don't come out by prayer and fasting, but they seem shocked. So it seems to me this is one of the first times they seem to have prayed for somebody.
And it didn't.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
And this would have been post sending out the 70.
Yeah.
The 70 would have already been. I know the modern day, this is one thing that I don't agree with the modern day translations. Miss Crystal is 72. I believe it was 70. Yeah.
Mine says 70, but it does have a little side note that says some say 72.
Yeah, I think it's just a misunderstanding. And a lot of your other scholars now, they're backing off of that and correcting that and editing.
They said it just a.
Yeah, it was just a confusion in the translation and the interpretation. But I do think it was 70, 2x2. And so, but I think that with this story, I'm actually glad this person brought it up, because I think that they seem shocked they couldn't do it, which probably appears to me that most, when they prayed before for people, it's happened. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what's different this time, Jesus?
Right.
And so, I think that would.
But again, going, just segueing back to where we started is rejoicing in what God says to rejoice about, what Jesus said. And that does go back to some of the things we're talking about. It does go back to rejoice in the fact, I just drew a blank, with the sheep, when Jesus goes after just the one.
Right.
You know, he rejoiced in the one. We do rejoice in that. We rejoice in all the things that people are heal, deliver, whatever. We don't ever want to take away from that. That's not what Jesus was saying. He was saying, don't dwell on that.
Dwell on the most important.
Dwell on the most important, that your name is written and it's been revealed to you what the Father wants to reveal to you of who I am, you know. And so Jesus is so excited. He's just so excited about that, you know. And so that's where we started. That's where we are winding up here, as far as just rejoice in what Jesus said to rejoice in, you know, and this is it right here. He says, all things have been entrusted in me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. You know, so
that's a big statement, right?
That is. And if you start dwelling on that, of Christ in us, and dwelling on the fact that we don't know, did Jesus heal everyone? We don't know. Did Jesus select certain ones? Did he draw certain ones? It does say, as Pastor Aaron says, that he drew them by the Spirit. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know why some are healed and why some are not. You know, it could be faith. It could be divine, whatever, you know, I'm saying. But if we rejoice in the fact, and we don't get stuck on the fact that, well, why didn't God heal this one? Or why did God do this? Or why come, you know, why in the Bible did this happen? We need to question. We need to study. We need to glean. We need to break things down. We need to. But if we just go back to this scripture, Luke 10:21 says, and in that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. That's God's good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father.
Yeah.
And he said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the main goal. That's what we should be doing.
It's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Make the main thing the main thing.
Can I read a couple more verses?
Yes, please do.
On down in Luke 9?
Yes.
I don't know if this is exactly fitting, but I think it does. My heart does.
Well, we can.
Verse 50. Where'd you read to on Luke 9?
Just 24.
I'll make sure I'm not reading.
24.
51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, which means he's settling himself to take the cross. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparation for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Some translations will go like this. You don't know what spirit you're of. And they went to another village, and as they were going along the road, someone said to them, because this is one thought, this is not broken, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said, leave the dead to bury their own dead. For as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I think sometimes in our life, we're like, oh, you want me to exercise power now? You know, you want me flex? You want me flex? I'll call down fire, Lord. I'll do it. And it's like they were like, hey, we just healed the sick. We just raised the dead. We just did all this.
Right.
You want me take them out? Like, they disrespecting you, Lord. They disrespecting you. You want me take them out? And
cut,
he says,
cut that ear off.
he's like, no. I want you to keep moving forward with me.
That's right.
And I want you to preach the kingdom, because the thing Jesus is rejoicing in the Spirit about is the kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's the kingdom coming. It's the unraveling, the mysteries being revealed, the things that were hidden from the wise and now given to the simple. The kingdom of God does not operate of intellect and mere human knowledge. It's operating off of wisdom and revelation, and that comes by way of Holy Spirit. And he's like, And to me, he's telling them, you stay focused in the kingdom. You keep rejoicing in the kingdom. Don't worry about what these fools are doing.
Right.
Don't worry about the haters. Don't worry about the liars. Don't worry about those. Those ain't your job. You're getting the wrong spirit if you do that.
That's exactly right.
He says, you, I just need you to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to keep preaching the kingdom. Mm-hmm. I need you to stay focused. I want you to rejoice. I want you to be glad. But don't get arrogant. Don't get cocky. Don't stay humble.
Right.
But rejoice in the Holy Spirit. Rejoice that you get to go preach the kingdom. Go and do it.
That's right.
Go and do it.
Yeah,
and
keep your eyes on the main thing again.
The main thing is the main thing.
Yeah. And then he says, go.
That's
go.
Right.
Go.
That's right. So good. So good. Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's this morning, you know, it wraps around a little bit with what we were talking about in class is like that it's on my heart that I'm so thankful that the Lord can see farther than we can see.
Yes, indeed.
Like, I'm so thankful that his ways are truly higher, mm-hmm. and that's why he's trying to get us to keep looking up,
right.
because he sees the thing that's coming that we don't know that is coming, or mm-hmm. he sees the greatness mm-hmm. that's coming that we don't know
right.
that's coming,
yes.
or that's available through mm-hmm. him. And I just think about, you know, he sees and tests the heart of mm-hmm. even the, when he rejoiced because the kings and the wise, you know, they rejected, but the simple and the children,
the baby, right. yeah.
but, mm-hmm. but he sees the hearts, you know, mm-hmm. the world thinks, oh, they praise the ones who are wise in their own eyes, but he sees what it really looks like,
That's
what their
right.
heart really looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But then he sees the hearts of the ones who are willing. And so I'm just thankful that, you know, he sees ahead, and mm-hmm. and we can trust him. Who wouldn't want to trust the one who can actually see
ahead?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
the one that's not stumbling in darkness, the one that is not caught up with looking to the left or looking to the right or getting mm-hmm. caught up with the haters or the demons.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's the one who can see. So I want to follow the one who can actually see.
That's
it's
right.
even
yeah.
the story of Ruth and Boaz there. You know, thank God he could see ahead. You know, he knew what he was doing right then and right there affected what was down the road. He
mm-hmm.
saw ahead,
mm-hmm.
however many years that was, but he saw ahead and he knew mm-hmm. exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was working it out.
That's right. The lineage
Thank
that
God.
Was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. Somebody was talking, I don't know if they were on here or who it was, but somebody was saying, you know, the Lord was saying, well, this is why I don't lay out the book of your life and show you everything in it, because you would run ahead of me and
right.
mess it all up.
No,
you know, this is why I can't reveal yeah. all things to you.
There's that old story of how, like, God is like, you know, the, there's a parade and you're standing in the parade and you see one float come by at a time. But God's in the Goodyear blimp above. And he can see way down the line. He sees the whole parade, and he knows what's going to happen.
Saw it from the
Where,
spot.
Yeah, you can't see. You can look down, and you can kind of see, oh, Santa Claus is coming, whatever. I don't know, whatever's down there at the end. And you know what's already passed, you know. But he sees the beginning to
Amen.
The end. Or what is that scripture we read last week? The end from
the
beginning.
Beginning.
Yeah. And he has a plan, is what it says.
I love that. The end from the beginning.
Yeah, that's he
end
does it
from
backwards.
The beginning.
Let me go. Y'all go ahead. I'm gonna Amen. Try to find that scripture. We just read it last week. It was so good.
About the end from the
yeah,
beginning.
I'm just gonna read it how he says it in context.
And while she's finding that, I'm gonna I'll say it like this. And it's we know that there's an end game,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes the point to that end game's tough.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get some, I didn't know that was coming. Like, I know where we're going, but I didn't know this was going to be the path.
Yeah.
And then he'll give you this, just this amazing picture or this moment of just like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I get it.
Now
and
I see.
You
yeah.
may not be out of the stuff yet, but you're like, I get it.
Right.
And
right.
maybe you're in those shoes today. Miss Crystal can read that scripture, but maybe you're
that's
in those
okay.
shoes today and you're just thinking, man, I know that this is going to be good. I know mm-hmm. that all things work together for the good right now, but I feel like my front teeth are getting kicked
yeah,
in.
Exactly.
I think he'll give you the strength.
Mm-hmm.
I think pray and ask him, like, Lord, I know you got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is going to work together for my good because I love you and I'm called according to your purpose. But could you give me a glimpse?
Yes.
Like, could, and I found him to be so merciful
yes.
and full of grace
mm-hmm.
that even in the hard times, he'll give me glimpses.
That's right.
And he'll encourage your heart. And he is near the brokenhearted. He is near the wounded. He is near those who are disappointed. He's not given up on you. He's not forsaken you.
Mm-hmm.
He is right there. And today, I would just encourage you, pray for a glimpse. Mm-hmm. Pray for, he's the God of hope. He'll give you hope. I'm not saying you're going to get out of the situation, because sometimes we need to walk through a situation,
right.
Mm-hmm. Because
right.
It builds patience and it perfects us and the gold's refined by the fire. But I have found him to be so merciful and good that he will give us glimpses of hope and direction and guidance and love and just this embrace of strength and empowerment, not to just, I think we as humans always want out of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's like, I want to walk through it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll go mm-hmm. with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You walk through the fire, you will not be burned, but you got to go through it.
there was a time that I said that to the Lord. I had always fought my way out of a situation, always was able to fight my way out. And this one time I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And I finally said to the Lord, I said, okay, I'm giving up. I'm going to sit here in this place until you tell me what it is I need to know. And I did.
Yeah.
I just sat there. But, you know, the thing of it is that even in that, when I said that, I began to see me coming out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I handed it over. I mm-hmm. took my hands off of that thing, and I handed it over, and I said, I quit.
Mm-hmm.
I quit. Mm-hmm. I'm not touching it anymore. And in that instant, it wasn't over by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I began to see myself coming out
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. I didn't carry the weight of it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, thank God you finally let
right.
it go.
she's learning.
No,
look
we
at
all.
Her. She's
we
learning.
All. And yeah. sometimes that glimpse comes through the Word.
That
you
way.
Know, it really does. It's mm-hmm. like it gives you a picture of what God says and He says. And we stand on what He says and not what we see or not what we feel or not what we're walking through.
Mm-hmm.
The glimpse sometimes, not all, sometimes the Lord will give you a vision. The Lord will give you something. But that Word creates
right.
What God sees. And mm-hmm. it creates
right.
how God sees the situation, you know. And we're able to relax in it. We're able to say, okay, God, I trust you. And it is a total trust sometimes that God, I don't understand. But like Miss Karen says, I let go of it. I can't do it. You know,
mm-hmm.
let go and let God. You know, the Lord yeah. gave me a song one time. Let go and let God. He loves him more than you. You know, and God does love us and others, you know, that we're praying for more than we do. We
That's
can't
right.
comprehend that.
Right.
But he loves them more than we do. And so he knows the end from the
beginning.
And that's how God works. We say beginning to the end. God says, I know the end from the beginning. Let me read that scripture
mm-hmm.
and we can talk more. I don't know where we are on time. It says, remember this and be brave. I'm sorry, I'm in Isaiah 46, verse 8. Remember this and be brave, or obscure is what some translation says. Take it to heart, you transgressors. Remember what happened long ago. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and no one is like me. I declare the end from the beginning, mm-hmm. and from long ago what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place, and I will do all my will, capital M, my will. I call a bird of prey from the east, a man for my purpose, from a far country. Yet I have spoken, so I will also bring it about. I have planned it. I will also do it. And that's our God. He plans
Amen.
The end from
right.
the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it according to my will, the way I mm. want it done. And again, just keeps going back to what Miss Karen said. When we finally say, I can't do nothing else. And in my situation, I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So all I can do is get a vision from the Word of what God says, how the end from the beginning is going to turn out.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Man, that's so good. We fit into His will. He don't fit into our will.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so hard as humans for us to realize. Even though every time we go through it, we know His way is always better. But it's like, well, let me try my way first. And then God's like, if you would just let me do it and just trust me and don't get in my way. Let me do what I have to do in you
mm-hmm.
first. And then you'll see the results down the line.
And then he allows us to do it because he's like, okay, I'll allow them to walk through this so I can get a little bit more pride out of them.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh. I can chip a little bit more rebellion out of them.
Exactly.
I sang this song in church long, long time ago. And I thought about it the other day, and it said, I thank you, Lord, for the trials that come my way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what was I thinking when I said that? But in that way, I can grow each day as I learn to let you lead.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes against the way I am to put my human nature down and let the Spirit take control of all I do.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I've thanked God many times for the trials.
Yeah.
Not every time, not until it was over. But, you know, it's like what you all are talking about here. There's something coming out of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every time the Lord takes you, walks you through something, there's something greater coming
right.
out of it.
That's right.
You're coming out different. And we need to learn to rejoice
right.
in that. We need to learn to rejoice in the places that we find ourselves that might be difficult. But if He's there with us, thank Him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
What's that old Andre Crouch that song? I thank Him for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. Because
uh-huh.
if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in His Word could do.
Amen.
Through it all.
Through it all. That's up.
Yeah, that's the old song.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is if we just floated around and never went through a trial, never went through anything, we would not grow in who we are. And that's just how God works.
That's right.
We don't understand it. We think He ought to make us perfect first. And you know, but it's through the trials, through the valleys. Flowers grow not on the mountaintops, in the valleys is where flowers grow. You know,
if we were perfect first, yeah. then we would have a vanity about it.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be vain about it. We'd be a wise person. We'd be a learned person where we count that as our own doing.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, He could make us, but we couldn't take it.
That's right.
We couldn't take it.
Well, He's a good God, but He wants things His way. He's a jealous God, and He wants our love, and He wants to love us, but He wants us to. It says,
yeah.
My will, capital M, I will do it. How did it say it? I'm sorry. I will do all my will, not your will. Not wait for my thoughts. Hannah that said it earlier. For my thoughts are not your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and my ways are not your ways. For even the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. It's good stuff.
Praise mm-hmm. the Lord.
Good stuff.
Praise
don't mind Lord. Me over here. I'm just jotting down confirmation after confirmation in my notes.
Rejoice in the Holy Spirit like Jesus did is what we started out saying this morning.
Mm.
And we'll end with, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Little B3 organ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Y'all don't even know how prophetic this has been. God does.
Makes
though.
Me want to shout hallelujah. Shout
hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, what a day.
Yeah.
What a glorious day. Thank
Amen.
You all so much for tuning in. Thank you, Miss Karen, Miss Crystal, and Miss Hannah, as always. And we are fully ready to rejoice in the Holy Spirit today.
Yes.
Amen.
Go preach the kingdom. Stop trying to call down fire on people. Don't rejoice that demons are submissive to you in His name. But rejoice that your Woo. Name is written
Amen.
In the book
Amen.
Of the Amen. Lamb. Amen. We love you. We bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, go out in the peace of God, the power of the Lord, and see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio.